As we get ready for Easter, it's funny that we've been talking about renewal, that we've been looking at how do we change. We started this off with the New Year's, and how do we change our ways, and how do we change ourselves, how do we change circumstances. And we talked about all kinds of renewal, and that renewal begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. It begins in the way we look at things. It begins in the perspective. It begins what we think. What do we believe? We learned earlier about beliefs, right? That beliefs change into our habits. Because what we believe, then we start to do, and we start doing a habit of that, as praying, as praising, as taking communion. These are habits that we do. These are things that we do each and every week or each and every month. As we get into the Word, these are habits of being devotionals, of being in the Word. And then we learn that our beliefs turn into our habits, and they finally become our values. And once they become our values, they become part of us. So our beliefs become part of us. By habits, they become part of us. That's why I talk to you all the time about like praying 5 minutes or more every day is so important, because that habit becomes part of us. I talk all the time about that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, and boy, do we ever. Each and every day, dear Holy Spirit, just fill me, take control of me. It becomes a habit. It becomes something I do every day. It becomes a part of me, the Holy Spirit part of me. Do we see how a belief becomes a habit, becomes a value, becomes us? The path to renewal is not a set of plans or a New Year's resolution. The path to renewal is a person, and that person is Jesus, who we took in today, and we take in every day, as we take in the Holy Spirit every day, as we take in the Father every day, as we see our path. We had a lot of prayer requests for pathway today. And that path is Jesus. I think that's going to be the big aha when we get to heaven. He's going to say, it was there all along. I was there all along. I walked with you. I talked with you. I saw you through this hard stuff. Can you give me an amen that he sees us through the hard stuff? You know, as you get older, it's supposed to get easier. That's what they all told us, right? Yeah. But that's not true, is it? Because the ailments come, and the kids grow up, and the situations come, and the mortgages do, and so many other things. And just when you think you got a handle on it, tomorrow comes with a whole new set of challenges. But today, the Lord is with me. Today, the Lord is in me. Today, God the Father is shining on me. We started this off about talking about praise and worship. That is our lifeblood. You can feel it in your pulse, in your heartbeat, in your light, in your life. So I'm going to detract for a minute there, and I'm going to ask you a question. And it was just put on my heart when I was reading this passage we're going to use today, because we're getting ready for Easter. Resurrection Sunday. We're getting ready for Easter. What do we need to do? We got about 3 or 4 weeks now. What do we need to do to get ready? Because we've been talking about renewal. And we're moving into the ultimate renewal. We're moving into where we're all going to die, and we're all going to come back to life, because we are one with Jesus. And when he died, we died. When he came back to life, we came back to life, and we're stronger and better than ever. So I want to ask you, do you ever remember, I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but do you remember a show with Manny Hall called Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
I was just watching some clips of that. I was going to try to play a clip, but I'm just going to let our memories. So today I want to make a deal with you. I want to be Manny Hall. You know, he'd walk up to people and he'd say, hey, if you got a quarter in your pocket, I'll give you $1,500. Well, he didn't say $1,500. He wasn't quite that extravagant. If you've got a credit card in your pocket, I'll give you $5, because everybody's got a credit card. That's not worth as much, right? And then you'd have the curtain and the big box and the other, the what? The zonk? Yeah, one of the, like, three curtains or a box. And you'd have to choose which one. And like, you already got something. Maybe you got this dining room set and this stereo set, and it was worth $9,000, but there's a big prize over there. So I want to make a deal with you today. But I'm not going to give you the deal until at the very end. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to give you the deal. God's got a deal for you today. And as we go through this passage, and this is such an important passage, this is probably the most important passage in the entire Word. Because this passage has to do not just with me, and not just with you, and not just with God, and not just with Jesus, but with everything and everybody. This passage has to do with prayer. Everything we just got done asking for, this passage has that answer. This passage has to do with the answer. One of my favorite passages, and God has given me this passage so many times. And today he's putting it in a new light. I love the old light, don't get me wrong. I one time this passage came to me 5 times in the same week. In 5 different ways. It just kept coming to me. I was at a convention, and somebody, I was doing youth at that time, and they came up to me and they had this magazine article, and they said, hey, you're doing youth, let me show you this article. They opened up their little book, they showed me the article, they flipped it back down, handed me the magazine. I didn't see what page, I didn't even see what the name of the article was. So during break, I'm sitting there flipping through that book, trying to find that passage, and I didn't find it. I never found it. Can't even remember what it was anymore. I remember the concept of it. But what I did find was this passage. And then I heard it on the radio 2 other times on 2 different programs. Now we're at 3 already. Who wants to take the odds of that happening? And then I'm reading this other book, and it's not even a Christian book, and that passage shows up again a 4th time. And then I went back to our church at the time, and I started telling people about this, and I'm saying, you know, wow, this is really odd. 4 times already. Actually, it was 5 already. And they all looked at me like I had 2 heads or something. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's odd, but like, why are you all looking at me like this? They said, Tom, you don't understand. While you were at that convention, the pastor, who was actually Tom Williams, who used to be here, he spoke on that. I didn't know that. 6 times in 1 week. What are the odds? So God has always played this passage with me a lot. And especially this one word. And I'm going to give you the word ahead of time. I won't give you the deal ahead of time, but I'll give you the word. The word is reconciliation. Oh, take that in for a minute. Reconciliation. That is the magic. That is the power. That is the renewal of every relationship, including the relationship of ourselves to ourselves. Reconciliation. What it means is making up. Isn't it a beautiful thing when we make up? So I told you I'm doing all this stuff with couples and stuff, and so it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. And maybe you can relate. Like, when we're in the middle of the argument, and we keep fighting each other, And we won't back down. We won't back down, right? 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 And we want to be right. And we want to show that we're right. But what I'm reading about, if we would just stop pushing so hard, start fighting so hard, and just back down just a little bit. The other person wants to back down too, but we're both in this mode, right? We need a little reconciliation right now. Can you relate? A little reconciliation with your family, a little reconciliation with your boss, a little reconciliation with your neighbor. And right now what's going on in this world, in Palestine and Israel, a little reconciliation between nation, and Russia and Ukraine, a little reconciliation. Every single individual on this planet and God, a little reconciliation. A little reconciliation will go a long way right now. So let's move into the passage. This is such a powerful passage. And I think it's great for getting ready for Easter. It's 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 21. Look how it begins. For Christ's love compels us. I love that. For Christ's love compels us. That means it moves us. It persuades us. It gets us going. It compels us. It makes us move. It makes us think. It makes us do. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced. We don't have any doubt about this. We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all, do you see the Easter connection? There, and one died for all, and therefore all died. As we take communion, do we remember what happened that day? As we take communion and we remember the Last Supper, that it was a day before he went to the garden. It was a couple of days before he was crucified. It was 3 days before he resurrected. And you know what scriptures say? He will rise in 3 days, all the way back to the Old Testament. And he rose in 3 days. One died for all. And therefore, all died. All died means I died. All died means you died. All died means everybody died. Everybody that is in Christ, we'll get to that. Everybody that is in Christ died with Christ. Just like we take communion, when he died, we died with him. His love compels us. His love put him on that cross in the first place. His love rose him off that cross in the second place. And his love makes us all die and rise with him in the third place. Glory be to God. Continuing. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, wow, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And he died for all, that we don't live for ourselves anymore. You know, I'll tell you the bane of human existence, the loneliest place to be, is when you live for yourself. When you do for yourself. When you're isolated. When you take care of yourself only. When you're isolated and you don't have that person around, you don't have family around, you don't have all your associates or friends. When you just do for yourself and gain for yourself and get for yourself, it's a lonely place. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So this is actually a prescription that we should not just live for ourselves. I don't care what our circumstances. We should not just live for ourselves. But we live for the one who died for us. We live for Jesus, who is the answer. Continuing. So, from now on, this is such a very curious passage. Every time I read it, I think this is so curious. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Now, is it just me that's got me scratching my head on this one? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. This is Paul speaking. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them that, hey, you know, we all looked at Jesus like he was everybody else. We looked at Jesus through the world standards. We looked at Jesus from our own perspective. We looked at Jesus from a worldly point of view, but we don't do that any longer. Let me ask you, what is your worldview? Do you know what a worldview is? I've just been reading something about that. A worldview has to do with what we think we're here for. A worldview has to do with how did everything begin? A worldview has to do with where are we going? A worldview has to do with the perspective of how you see everything and anything. And what Paul is saying, hey, you know, we used to look at Jesus from a worldly point of view, a narrow point of view, a limited point of view, but we do so no longer because we understand, we're beginning to understand, it should say, that he is bigger than that. He's much larger than this world. He's different than anybody that's ever walked on this planet. And he has more purpose inside him and purpose into us than we can even imagine. So we don't look at him that way anymore. We look at him through this new lens, this new perspective, this new understanding that he is God's Son incarnate. We just got done celebrating Christmas. We will be celebrating Easter, which is when he dies and is risen again. Continuing. Therefore, here it comes. We're not at the deal yet, though. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say it with me. In Christ. Say it with me. I am in Christ. I am. And let's fill in our name. I, Tom, am in Christ. I, Tom, say it with me. I, Tom, am in Christ. How's that feel? That feels like we're praising right now to me. That feels like we got Julia back up here and we're just jamming it out. I am in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ and we are in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Do you think you see why we're doing this for renewal? As we look at renewal, as be made new, this is the passage. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and how do you get in Christ? You take him in. You accept him. You say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Boom, you are in Christ and he is in you. And what is that passage from John 17? Your Father, may they be in me as I am in you, that you are in them, as they are in each other. Can you imagine the world? The world. Just for a moment. Let's just do it for a moment. Because I don't think we can have it forever because we're not at that time yet. But just for a moment in our imaginations. Let's give us a minute, 1 minute, that everybody on this planet is in Christ. 1 minute. It hasn't started yet. I'll start the clock. 1 minute that everybody is in God. 1 minute. 1 minute, just 60 seconds, that everyone is in the Holy Spirit. And for 1 minute, 1 minute only, everybody is one with one another. Reconciled to God. Reconciled to each other. No more fighting. No more war. No more cheating. None of, we're all one. You're not gonna stomp on your own foot, right? We're all one. Like I talked about the marriage thing, you know, When we're married, what we do to our spouse, we do to ourselves. That's what Scripture teaches us. When we're connected, one, two flesh into one. We are one. So what I do to you, I'm doing to me. The 1 minute, though, everybody is one. Therefore, if any one person is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. I've met so many pastors and so many ministers that say, hey, you wouldn't want to know me in the past. You wouldn't want to know the old time. You wouldn't want to deal with that person. I've met so many that tell me I was a mean person. I was in jail. I was ripping people off. I've done despicable things. The old is gone. And maybe it's a little thing. Just a little white lie you've told, or a little deceit, a little cheating, a little something-something. We all got something-something. Or maybe it's really big, like you murdered somebody. But see, with God, it's all sin. But in Christ, the new creation, the holy creation has come, and the old has gone, the new is here, continuing. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our job. That's our job. Job 1 and job 2, I've talked about that before. Job 1 is for you to get reconciled with God, for you to take in Jesus, for you to become in Christ. That's job 1. Job 2 is help somebody else get reconciled. Job 2 is help somebody else find Jesus. Job 2 is help somebody else find heaven itself. We are being reconciled. Reconciled being made up. That we kind of broke off. And mind you, God didn't do the breaking off. We did the breaking off. That's really important to understand. God never does the breaking off. We always do the breaking off. We do the separation. Sin causes separation. When we sin, I've been thinking about this lately. When we sin, we do a triple. Every time we sin. And I'm not trying to get down on us about sin. People sin. And God forgives us. But sin does three things. It separates us from God. It hurts God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves God because you're hurting his people and you're hurting yourself, right? Which brings us to number two. You're hurting somebody else. When you sin, you hurt somebody. Don't give me no victimless crime stuff. We still, there's victims everywhere. Somebody pays the price when we sin. And finally, and most importantly, I gotta tell you, is we sin against ourselves and we feel bad. You have conscience, guilt, been there, done that. Can you relate? So it's a triple effect that's happening every time we sin. And we can be reconciled back to God, and we can be reconciled back to each other, and we can help others get reconciled. Reconcile is a great word. I love, love, love. Hate the word shame. Love the word reconcile. Continuing.
We need to be reconciled to ourselves, too.
We can, absolutely. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting, there we go, people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation that we covered sin, that is a triple. And God is not counting our sins. How cool is that? That God doesn't count our sins. Can you imagine if he counted our sins? Can you imagine if he kept track of all of them? I'd have a list running down that wall. And it's a list that keeps going too, by the way. But God doesn't keep counting them. He just keeps forgetting about them. As long as I bring them back to him, and as long as we get reconciled, as long as I say, hey, I repent, I say, I'm not going to do that, at least I'll try not to do that anymore. I learned something else this week, too. You know what the difference between sin and iniquity is? I didn't. But I learned it this week. So sin means it's a one-time act. Iniquity means you're caught up doing it over and over and over and over again. And that's why all the Old Testament, they're always talking about we're people of iniquity. They keep falling away from God. They keep screwing up. And they keep sinning. They keep finding other gods. That's what their biggest one was. They always would find another god, a golden calf, something else, somebody, some other magical elixir that's going to fix everything for them. Never worked. But they were sinning against God. They were sinning against other people because they were drawing people in. Hey, let's all do the golden calf thing. And they were sinning against themselves because they got false hope over a false god that doesn't really exist. God is not counting all of our sins. He's reconciling us. He's bringing us back. It's like that fight I just talked about when you're married, and instead of putting up the dukes, leaning on the gloves. Watch what happens. And it doesn't just go for marriage, it goes for any relationship. Instead of putting up the dukes, lay down the gloves. We were just in the hospital. We were talking about working with the hospital and what we needed and what they were going to do. And one of the wise things I heard in there is, let's not fight them. Let's work with them. Let's work with each other. Continuing. One more. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Dun, 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 dun. We are ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Each and every minute, that's not a one-time deal, by the way. That's each and every minute that we are reconciled to God. That's each and every minute that we are helping somebody else get reconciled. That's each and every situation. That's with each and every family member. That's with each and every neighbor. That's each and every time, each and every moment. We are ambassadors. We stand proud because we represent the King of Kings. We come to the nation of one, the nation of each individual as an ambassador for God, for heaven itself. And we implore, we beg you, we beg you to come back to the Lord or come to the Lord. Final verse. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, we're not just an ambassador anymore. We are the righteousness of God. We are not only right with God, we are the righteousness of him. All that is good. All that is proper. All that is holy. Here's the deal. Here's your Monty Hall deal. I will trade you. I will come up and I will trade you. You give me your sin, and I will give you the righteousness of God. Who wants the deal? Who wants the deal? Who's got a little bit of sin in their pocket? Who's got a little bit of sin in their pocket? Who's got a little bit of sin in their pocket? And I take your sin and I give you the righteousness of God. I take your sin and I give you the righteousness. That's what Jesus' deal is. It's not Monty Hall. It's not let's make a deal. It's Christ himself reconciling ourselves to God, taking all of our stuff. Anybody got some stuff? Does anybody got some past? Does anybody got some present stuff? Does anybody got some future anxieties and worry? Can you give it to him? Can you give it to him? And this is a deal each and every day. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you unload our sin, that you take it and you exchange it for your righteousness, We thank you for your Son that we can be an ambassador to help somebody else take that deal. We thank you, dear Father God, that you not only have a deal, but you have a covenant. You have a cup. You have a bread. You have the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our new covenant, to renew us. So as we get ready for Easter, we get ready for renewal. We get ready for change. We get ready for an answer to the problems, to the situations. We get ready for Jesus. Open our eyes. Let us see Jesus. Open our hearts. Let us see Jesus. Open our minds. Let us see Jesus. This we ask. In the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
People, the gospel's easy. It's not real complicated. It can get very complicated. I mean, I can go really deep and get very complicated. Look at the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament. Look how they all connect. Look at Jesus did and all the God did a big, big, big picture. But I gotta tell you, it's as easy as that song. Jesus loves me. This I know. Because the Bible tells me so. You know, I was at a service, a funeral service the other day, and they played that song. But they played all the stanzas. You gotta look it up. Look at the rest of that song. That song is amazing. That song is deep. It's very simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. But then it goes in on the other stanzas, on the other verses, and starts explaining the whole thing. I couldn't believe it, because I've never heard the whole song. Have you ever heard that whole song? Look it up. Look up the lyrics. It's amazing at how profound that song is, and how simple it is. See, God has not made this difficult. We make it difficult. God has made it very simple. God incarnated himself, came to this planet, the one who created all of us came to this planet, died, we can get into all that, that gets complicated, was resurrected so that we can die to ourselves and be resurrected. This is Easter, folks. This is what Easter is all about. This is what Good Friday is all about. So get ready. Get prepared. Start reading some scripture about Easter. Get ready. We'll start moving into it very shortly, where we're going to walk through Holy Week. In the meantime, 1 second, David. Let us just close in prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you that you've made it simple. We thank you that you want us reconciled. We thank you that we're your ambassadors, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you trade our sin for your righteousness, dear Father God. And so we just ask that we take all of this in, and that we can be in Christ, in this world, in this moment. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Your assignment is just to be Christ.